This is the Dan and Christy podcast.
Dan and Christy.
Macca's new surprise prize. Peel any medium or large fries for a chance to find a prize.
And Christy Liss in Seattle this morning, producer yes. Maddie on the show, and almost Easter time. What are you doing for Easter, first of all?
I haven't even, literally haven't even thought that far ahead of my life.
You're 4 days ahead.
And then I'll think about it after midday.
Yeah, well, you could go on Easter egg hunt if you like.
True.
Go for brunch or dinner by yourself.
But what would soundtrack that? You know, what would soundtrack my Easter adventure?
Well, maybe like a hip-hop song.
Uh-huh.
And this was Christy's idea because she's like, oh, we have to have an Easter song. I'm like, there's nothing funny about Easter. There's no jokes you can make apart from excellent.
You're not really selling what we're about to hear.
Well, I made it. Like, I did it. And well, it's a great time to be with your family and friends and do some, you know, Easter-themed stuff this weekend.
Yes.
Have a fun Easter. And just stay safe out there because a lot of people on the roads.
People that may not drive regularly, people that might be driving longer distances than usual.
That's true. That's true. And if you are the Easter Bunny, good luck on Sunday getting around to all the houses. But let's have some Easter
yes.
delight, shall we, right here on
Hits. A hip hop, and I don't stop chucking. I'm a hot cross bunny, my ears are big and funny, and I give you lots of chucking to eat. Cause Easter time, I'm out of my hole, and I'm loaded up with eggs. I'm a rabbit here with a habit shaking bunny tails. No mixing the tosses and spread. I'm living in Nick Cage, con head. I'm hopping for the trees. Gonna hide the stash, you'll be hard to kidnap. My eggs are freaking sweet. I'm bouncing round off the walls, hands down, sexy rabbit, chock a block. I'm 24 karat, and me like a parrot. Bugs Bunny, and what's up, doll? EAS to the STR, with a bunny moon is the plan. No lettuce, son, I'm Elton John. I'm more of a rocket man. Why did the chicken cross the field playing soccer on the ground? Well, birds and word, turns out he heard the referee was blowing fouls. I'm here today in the express lane, shooting baskets all the time. I'm around the corner, I'm Transformers. You can call me Optimus Prime. Hip hop, and you don't stop. I'm getting some hot cross buns.
Kiss. Dan and Christy.
Where did you sleep? Because the man getting a haircut, he failed to get up 3 hours. They just left him there.
Bless them. Because I've seen some barbershops where it is cutthroat, busy, get him in and out. They let old mate sleep there for nearly 3 hours. Missed call, like 38 missed calls.
He got a parking ticket while he was there. He walked out a new man, though, because obviously he needed the Z's, because impromptu nap, sitting down to get a fade, his beard trimmed off, and just falls asleep.
See, I don't know. I like that they did let him sleep, but like, I probably had plans.
Yeah, because like, imagine at 5:38 when you go in, like around 2 o'clock-ish, 3 o'clock, and then just all of a sudden 3 hours later, you're like, oh God, I was supposed to be a lot of places and run a lot of errands. Whoops.
And then, meanwhile, the barber's just taking lol photos.
And now he's famous on TikTok, gaining millions of views. So we're asking you, where did you fall asleep? Now, Charlotte from Mildura, where did you fall asleep?
Well, it's actually my little sister fell asleep in the pantry while the alarm was going off. Because mum was burning something in the oven.
Oh, no.
We slept through the alarm going off and managed to find a comfy spot at the bottom of the pantry.
How old was your sister at the time? 23?
Just 5.
Okay,
fair enough.
Excusable, but still, while the alarm was going off.
Oh, right. So the alarm would be pretty loud then?
Yes, so loud. Like, and right above the kitchen next to the pantry. So
she's still a heavy sleeper? We're sleeping through alarms to this day?
No, completely opposite now.
That was it. That was a scarring moment. I fell asleep in the pantry.
So while it's happening, smoke's bellowing and the alarm's going off. Are you concerned about your sister and couldn't find her for a little bit?
Yeah, we couldn't find. Like, mum was like, oh, no, like, the alarm's going off. I've burnt something. And then it's like, oh, better get outside. Like, take the girls outside. And then she's running around.
Or missing
about the
one.
House down and missing a child.
Well, it's a rough Thursday by the sounds of it.
Sorry, Mum.
Megan from Moraine, where did you fall asleep?
Hi, guys. I fell asleep in Thailand. We were on a, like, we're doing a tour. We woke up at 3:30 to be on a tour by 4 a.m.
Right, early starts.
And we went to James Bond Island and a few other islands like that. And once the day had finished, we're on this speedboat. We're doing about 80 kilometres an hour. It was pouring with rain. And I just put my head on my husband's shoulder and I was out.
On a speedboat. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, and it was like bumping and everything like that. I when I was first starting off, I could feel my head, like, you know, shaking as you do on boats. And then I was just out.
Did you ever saw Nick the next day?
No, he woke me up when we got to shore.
Bless.
What a great tour.
A gentleman.
I imagine. Yeah. Jill from Oakdowns, where did you fall asleep?
In the movies, and also my husband slept through an earthquake.
Jeez.
Okay, where were you? Is worse, though? Was it a movie about earthquakes that you were both watching together?
No, it was The Hobbit. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
The whole time.
Look, a little stretch.
I've been watching The Hobbit this week, which is crazy, and I reckon I'd fall asleep a few times during that. It should have been one movie. It's a long haul.
But what was this? Absolutely. What level earthquake was this that your husband slept through?
Oh, so it was just a little one. So here in Tassie, it was about 22 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so the windows were shaking, and I'm like, what's that, what's that? And he's like, oh, probably just the car across the road.
And they made a movie out of it, San Andreas. Catherine Bright, where did you fall asleep?
In the dentist chair.
No, Kat, no.
Yes.
You weren't under anaesthesia or anything? It was just by yourself?
No, I just get in the zone and just deep breathing, and I've nutted off.
So what are they doing, like a root canal, like doing proper dental work on your face and you're asleep?
Filling.
You could hear the drill, though, right, during it?
Yeah, my dentist reckons I'm the most relaxed patient she's ever worked on.
That's okay. Getting a phenomenal root canal.
Like, what is your personal life like that's relaxing for you, Kat?
Oh, yeah, really busy. So I quite enjoy just lying back and relaxing. 1, 2, 3, it's like ABCD.
Dan and Christie. The Jack Jumpers, Tasmania Jack Jumpers, on the verge of winning their first NBL title in the history of the club, the championship series between Tasmania and the Melbourne United, tipping off tonight, 7:30 p.m. You can check it out live on ESPN. And you could be there at MyState Bank Arena. But the Tasmanian Jack Jumpers COO joins us to talk about it. Darren Smith, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you going, mate? You must be so excited. And the preparation for the Jack Jumpers, how are they feeling?
Yeah, we're all very excited. And you know, hopefully we can get this done tonight in our home venue.
Mm-hmm. And I got to say, I'm still buzzing from Jack McVay's insane last-minute buzzer beater to record a dramatic NBL victory.
Jack McVay with the shot of his life!
Were you there, mate, when it happened?
I was lucky enough to be there, and it's one of the most ridiculous things in sport I've been able to witness. So, yeah, very lucky to be there in person. There's something wrong with Jack. In all the good ways.
Yeah, I saw people at the airport on Monday morning flying home still wearing their Jackie stuff. They were barely able to talk. I think the crowd got pretty excited too, from what I could hear.
Well, I was sitting in the throng of them, and they were jumping up and down. They went absolutely crazy. It was amazing how much the Jackie's fans drowned out United at the end of that one.
Yeah, he launched the ball from long range too, and he said he blacked out. So sinking that massive three-pointer in such a clutch environment with about 2 seconds left on the clock, it's one of the greatest all-time sporting moments, isn't it?
It really is. I mean, I can't think of too many more that sort of, you know, would top it. It was an emotional roller coaster that game. You know, when kind of finishing off the game, we're like, oh no, 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 and then Jack got the ball, and we're like, oh no, yes.
Have you started measuring up for like a bronze statue? I assume that's the next step, right?
Well, I think he's 6'8", so it's going to be pretty
that's
big.
A lot of bloody bronze.
Yeah, we've got to get some bronze. We'll just steal the David Boone one and put it up. But the deficit, 2-1 lead into tonight's game. Jack Jumpers taking the title. What would it mean to you as the COO of the Jack Jumpers if it does get done?
Oh, look, I think it really would validate a lot of what the club's been trying to do. You know, Scott Roth talks about it a lot. You know, we've got a lot of guys that other teams didn't really value that highly. So for them to be able to pull together, and be in this position is unbelievable and fantastic for those individuals as well as us, the club. And let alone, you know, how the community's gotten behind us, you know, the way the team's adopted, you know, the mantra of defending the island, against against mainland teams and those that sort of look down at us, it's just going to be unbelievable.
Yeah, what is it like to be having an ant army behind you? It's deafening in there at MyState Bank Arena. The energy in the room, it's kind of like an extra player on the court, isn't it?
It gives us a massive advantage. It makes it very difficult for opposition teams to come in here and be successful, which is exactly the environment you're after. You know, I've been lucky enough to have played in the league and been around to all the venues, and there's no doubt is phenomenal and gives us a huge advantage.
It's brilliant, and I like the way that, you know, you started off with the Jack Jumpers. People weren't jazzed about being ants. And next minute, everyone is part of the heart. Like, they are swarming. Everyone loves it. It's so enheartening to see, you know, you guys turn it around with so much success.
Well, I mean, you know, being in Melbourne, you know, for that game three, and seeing, you know, a few hundred of the Ant Army kind of coming down the street towards the stadium was pretty impressive and pretty intimidating. So, you know, let alone, I mean, if you've ever been bitten one, you know what I'm talking about.
Well, hopefully tonight against Melbourne United, the Ants will go marching one by one. And it did sell out pretty quickly. As soon as tickets went on sale, they were gone. If you're a fan, is there a place to watch tonight, Darren?
There are. We've got a few watch parties listed on our socials. I know Rest Point definitely having a big screen happening. So, yeah, there's some opportunities if you can't get to the game for sure.
Well, Game 4 Championship Series tonight. Jack Jumpers and Melbourne United tipping off at 7:30 p.m. It'll be a nervous wait for you, Darren, but it's going to be amazing. And thank you so much, the COO of Tasmanian Jack Jumpers. And go the Jackies, and good luck tonight.
Excellent, guys. Thanks very much for having me. Go Jackies.
Dan and Christy. Dan and Christy.
Eat Breakfast with Dan and Chris, here with producer Maddie this morning.
Can't guarantee
and
that fact.
Private investigations. You ever got cheated on, Maddie, first of all?
No, I've barely been in a relationship, so that's my saving grace.
Well, 13, 10, 60.
Mate, if you want to take on this pile of garbage, good luck. But, no, there's an interesting story. They had a chat with a PI over in the States, and he reckoned he's pinpointed one of the biggest signs that your ex might be on the run.
Rightio.
Or so, date might be becoming an ex.
So he's kind of spying on anyone, like mistresses out there or anyone that's cheating. It does suck to be cheated on. I've been cheated on. But, so sometimes this happens in relationships. You might be married to someone, but you hire a private investigator to find out whether it's happening.
Imagine getting to that point. Like, that's serious, Sam. Like, if you think you're gonna have to go and spend money, have someone tail your person...
And usually they're in a trench coat, aren't they? Like a big fedora.
But only a trench coat. That's where I go and get into trouble with the police.
Yeah. And you have the eye holes cut out of a newspaper. You're like, watching you. But apparently this is what happens because you got to get proof. So you hire private investigators and they do stakeouts. And, and usually it's the male cheaters. I'm not going to be gender specific, but usually it's
even though
the
you
blokey
were cheated
blokes.
On quite well with a by a female.
Oh, yes. Yeah. That was pretty amazing. I was on stage while it was happening. So it was a 21st birthday party and my band was playing and I could see her on a pool table just making out with a ranger.
Oh, not a ranger.
Yeah, good old fan of pants.
Steal a soul.
You can't trust them, I tell you what. But this is what he says. So he says if a guy's going to pick up a sweetie in his car, usually they get the car spruced up.
That's really valid because, I think, you know, usually the guy will go and pick up the gal when they're going on a date. So, yeah, he wants to make sure that the car is clean.
So he goes to car washes to find it. And it's amazing that the guys usually are found there. He goes, it's pretty rare that he sees a guy jump into a female's car. So hangs out near car washes just to see if they're sprucing up the car to get ready to go out.
That's a pretty crafty thing. And also would, like, make a lot of people real sus, though. Mm-hmm. Like, because if I cleaned my car...
Yeah.
Mate, you would have to assume it was the end of days. But
it's true. Wax on, wax off.
Wax on, paint off. It's going down to metal at this point.
Well, he also said there's tech-savvy gadgets out there. So he's got, like, long-lens cameras for picture and video evidence. And it's kind of like fake coffee cups. So if you're at a cafe and you're meeting up with your sweetie on the side and you see someone there in a trench coat and a fedora hat with a coffee cup, be wary because he's a bit suspect. Dan and Christy. I love the Carlton Football Club and I especially love this bloke. He's one of the legends of the Blues and he joins us right now to talk about the Good Friday match between the Blues taking on North Melbourne Friday night. Forward line coach Jordan Russell, it is an absolute pleasure.
Good morning, guys. I'm not sure about legends. I'll take it.
Mate, didn't you get it like a runner-up to Chris Judd in a year that he won the Brownlow?
I did.
It was a shooting star moment, unfortunately for me, but I'll take it.
But you've had a decade of coaching experience. You've actually coached North Melbourne too. How has the preparation been here, seeing as though you know the inside and outs of this team?
Yeah, we spent 2 weeks now because of the bye that we've had, analysing North and watching a couple of games. So I've got a bit of an idea around what they're trying to go after, but obviously 6 months is a long time in footy, and they've no doubt changed a few things. So it's been interesting watching the guys that you spent sort of 3 years working really intimately with. So, I'm really looking forward to this match, more so for the Good Friday appeal as much as the game as well.
Yeah, it's such an incredible reason to get out there and have a crack at the game. Do you think, because it's like a fundraiser for the Royal Children's Hospital, do you play harder or softer?
It's a good question. I think you never waver in terms of how hard you actually go at the footy. Mm. I think once the siren starts, the boys, it's just a real game. And it's probably when you stop and reflect at the breaks or sort of before the game or after the game, you realise what such an important day this is. I think the fact that the two teams get together and run through a banner after the kids and the staff of the hospital, it's such a good touch, and it's more than just a game tomorrow, and it's a great... it's a pleasure to be a part of the day. And I know both sides go to the hospital and spend time with the kids and their parents. And, it's pretty cool to be a part of it.
And this is why I love the Blues too, because embracing that privilege in playing in one such a significant game, but off the field is half of it, because all the funds raised are going towards the Good Friday appeal, and there's auction items. So it's literally like stuff that the Blues have just put out there, like Sam Walsh has chucked in some stuff, Cripper, Jack Silvani, some of the home Guernseys, Harry Mackay's given signed boots. These boys are doing a lot for the Good Friday appeal, aren't they?
Yeah, they are. It sort of speaks probably volumes. I've only been here again for sort of 5 or 6 months, but it speaks volumes of the culture of the place. It's more than the players. It's more than the people. It's about the greater community and environment too. So, yeah, it's, as I keep saying, it's a special week, and the players are so generous with their time and efforts, and it's got nothing to do with what's in it for them. It's about what's in it for the kids and obviously raising some money where they can. So it's a fantastic week.
Yeah, it will be a great week. And you can become a member at carltonfc.com.au and actually go for these auction items to raise money for the Good Friday appeal. And Carlton might have a few players back. I've heard that Jacob Wiedering, his calf is good, and Sam Walsh could be up for selection this week.
Sam Walsh is a couple of weeks away, unfortunately, but he's... he's running around with the boys, and I've only known him for sort of 5 or 6 months. But, yeah, I know when he's back on the track, you realise why he's such a good player. He's buzzing around. He's energetic. But, yeah, he's still a couple of weeks away. We've got our match committee in about 10 minutes just to decide a few things. So I'd love to give you some more information, but we've got to iron out a few creases at the minute and figure out exactly what it looks like. But, yeah, Wiedering is a chance, so we're looking forward to getting him back as soon as we can.
And I just want to know, as a Carlton fan too, from you, Jordan Russell, what is your best football memory for putting on the Guernsey, the dark navy blue?
Oh, there's a few different ones. Mm-hmm. I reckon the one that is probably a little topical is when we played Essendon in 2007, mm-hmm. and we came back from 48 points down at halftime.
Yes, I was there at that game. Brendan Favola turned up out of nowhere in the second half. Yeah. Is that the same game?
That's the one. So it's sort of... after we came back against Brisbane, they sort of spoke about that was the second biggest comeback, and I remember the first, and that was it, the game against the Bombers. So, yeah, that's a nice memory, but it's one of many. And for me, it's great to come home, essentially. I moved from SA over to Carlton, essentially, and I'm back where it all started. So, it's a pleasure to be back at the club, and it's been great so far.
And it must be good to beat Essendon every time.
I haven't not enjoyed being here.
Well, become a Carlton member for sure. Jordan Russell, wishing you all the best. Blues taking on North Melbourne in the Good Friday appeal too. You're an absolute legend of the club. Thanks for joining us. Assistant coach from the Blues, Jordan Russell.
Thank you very much, guys. Thanks for talking to me.
Macca's new surprise fries. Peel any medium or large fries for a chance to find a prize.
That was the Dan and Christie podcast. Dan and Christie.